Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, December 24th, 2020. Happy Christmas Eve to those who celebrate. And this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on in the chapter, There's a Solution, on page 24, we're reading paragraph 3, and that begins with, the alcoholic may seem. We're going to read and comment on one paragraph only. Today, our readers are Amy B. for the 12 Steps, Martha Z. for the 12 Traditions, Brandy M., and Dion R. Jody E. will greet our newcomers after we finish the recording, and Leslie M. will close us out with some announcements today. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for December 23rd is 16050. That's 16,050. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, December 24th is 16059. That's 16,059. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now thank and ask Amy B. for reading the 12 steps. Please press star one to unmute.
Hello,
Amy. Thank
this
you.
Is Amy B. from West Texas. Okay, so the 12 steps of OA. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amy B. And I will now ask Martha Z. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your loving service. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martha Z. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Using the star 1 function on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There's a Solution, and we're on page 24, paragraph 3. And I will now ask Brandy M. to please begin reading that.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Sher Park, Alberta, Canada. The alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, it won't burn me this time, so here's how. Or perhaps he doesn't think at all. How often have some of us begun to drink in this nonchalant way, and after the third or fourth pounded on the bar and said to ourselves, for God's sakes, how did I ever get started again? Only to have that thought supplanted by, well, I'll stop with the sixth drink, or what's the use anyhow? Yeah, I can very much relate to this with my food addiction, for sure. You know, just that constant, like not even having a plan to start, and just being in, and you know, with the holidays, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and you know, I remember going into the holidays like with that firm resolution that, you know what, I'm not going to do it. And then, you know, doing good like throughout the family events, but then coming home and just getting into the cookies. And there wasn't any plan to do that. There was no, you know, there was still the firm, I'm not going to do it. And then doing it and binging. And then being like, well, what's the use? Now I might as well eat through New Year's and, you know, up until, you know, then I'll start my New Year's resolution. And, you know, it's like, I am so powerless over food. And, well, I'm powerless over a lot of things, pretty much everything besides, you know, my giving it over to God every day. I'm not powerless over doing that. I'm not helpless. And the actions I take to stay recovered. But, you know, with this, it's like, I'll start the diet, you know, on Monday. On Monday, that will be the day. And it's always, I always heard no one ever got abstinent on a Monday. No one ever got abstinent on a tomorrow. You know, this starts today. And it, you know, we're going into a beautiful season, and how beautiful it could be for us to be present for our families. And, you know, I'm so excited about this. And I know that, you know, I mean, here we can't see anyone, but I'm excited about the tradition that we can start in my own home. And you know, today it's just that piece of acceptance, right? And I don't have to start on a tomorrow. You know, I've been abstinent over a year, and I'm going to make the food that I would typically binge on, and I'm neutral with that today, and by the grace of God. And so, you know, we don't have to let it burn us this time. We don't have to do that today. We can, you know, call our fellows, pick up this set of spiritual tools, and, you know, keep working the program one day at a time. Christmas, you know, it's just another day. My disease does not take a break today, you know, so I still have to work my program just as hard at today, tomorrow, you know, till the new year, whatever. Every day I have to do that. It doesn't matter what day it is. And so I wish everyone, you know, happy holidays. I hope everyone stays abstinent, and we're here. Reach out. Love y'all. Bye.
Thank you so much, Brandy. Appreciate that. Okay. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared since Monday, then you'd be welcome to press star one to unmute and put your name on the list for a lineup for shares. Who'd like to share?
Heather W. from Texas.
I heard Heather and somebody G from Texas.
Lisa G.
Lisa G. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Anybody else?
Christian.
Dion R.
And Dion R.
Dev E.
Dev E. And one more?
Mary G.
And Mary G. That's a great lineup. Okay, we've got Heather W., Lisa G., Christian, I'm going to need your first initial of your last name when you share. Dion R., Dev E., and Mary G. How delightful. We'll start with Heather W., and you'll be followed by Lisa G. Please go ahead, Heather.
Hey, good morning, y'all. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore, and Merry Christmas Eve to everyone who celebrates. I'm so grateful to be on the line, to be on winter break, and to be recovered, right, just by God's grace for 3.5 years. You know, really every day can be Christmas or whatever holiday you celebrate when you're recovered. You know, not having to pick up, having neutrality with food is truly the best gift I could ever have. You know, it allows me to enjoy every other gift in my life. And I think this paragraph so well explains our twofold illness, right? It starts with the mental twist. It won't burn me this time. It's okay. I can have it. It's Christmas. I can eat it. It's my birthday. You know, one won't hurt. They can have it. So can I. That mental twist, right? Despite all the evidence that it's never worked out for me, that I've never just had one of anything, you know, I tell myself, no, it's okay, right? That nonchalant way. Someone passes me a basket of something. Oh, okay. Here, have one of these. Oh, okay. Even though I know I can't, nonchalant, like a shoulder shrug, it doesn't matter. When I'm really, you know, sacrificing my life and sanity every time I do that, right? And then it goes down and it starts to explain that physical allergy, right? Our very real physical allergy phenomenon of craving. You know, by the third or fourth pounding on the bar, how did this happen again? You know, and then saying, well, I'll stop with the sixth, or it doesn't matter anyhow, right? You know, taking that first bite, that mental twist in my head, Heather, it doesn't matter. Pick up. It's okay. It won't hurt you. Very nonchalant, you know. And then by the 100th bite, right, when all this stuff is spread out of me and I'm in the food coma, the stupor, right? And, you know, where it says oftentimes we don't even think as well. Like the first speaker said, you know, a lot of times this wasn't even premeditated. Now, sometimes I'd have those times where I would really just be like, what does it matter? I'm going to go hard. I'm going to eat it all. Doesn't matter. You know, pretty much just F it. I'm going to eat it. Right. But then a lot of times I didn't even think at all. It just happened. Somehow I'm at the refrigerator. somehow there's a spoon, you know, in the cold stuff in the fridge. It just happens. And, you know, I just thank God, right, that this program, these 12 steps, they can take care of all of it. I put the food down. I get entirely abstinent. That stops that phenomenon of craving. And then I work the steps. I live in these steps like my life depends on it because it does. So with that, I'll pass, and I'm so grateful I got to share this morning.
I am grateful you did too, Heather W. Thank you. Lisa G., you are up next, followed by Christian. Please go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Elaine. Thanks for your service. Good to hear your voice. This is Lisa G. from Texas, compulsive overeater, food addict. I had a friend tell me many, many years ago, because I wanted more chocolate and more chocolate, and she just had a couple. And I said, how do you do that? How do you just have two? She said, honey, the first and second bite are the best. After that, it really doesn't matter. And I said, are you out of your mind? The millionth bite is the best bite. And that is exactly how I felt for a long, 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 long time. You know, food was not my problem. Food was my solution. And my problem was my life. Problem was death. Problem was fear. Problem was life not going my way. And, you know, of course, I didn't think that the way I wanted life to go was bad. You know, I wanted people in my life to live and not die of cancer. I wanted my marriage not to have a divorce. I wanted, you know, good things, things that everybody would want, right? But life didn't go the way I thought it was supposed to. Life was my problem. And a way that I solved it was first with drugs, and then when I quit doing drugs, food. Food is easy, and I never connected the fact that I ate like a maniac with my life problem, never connected it. And I'd have those days. I mean, every day, every night, I better finish that sleeve of cookies. Oh, there's two left, I'm gonna eat that. Well, I might as well start this one. And then when I was done at 1 a.m, how could I have done that again? I hate myself. I hate myself. And it just went over and over every day. What stopped it? These steps. These steps. It's crazy how they work. It's crazy because I have no idea how they work, but they do. And that's really what I have to say. And for anybody that's a newcomer, I would just say, give it a try. Keep coming back. If life is your problem, these steps can help. And help a whole lot. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lisa G. Okay, Christian, you're up next. And if we could have the first initial of your last name, that'd be great. You'll be followed by Dion R. Star one to unmute, please, Christian.
Oh, there we go. Christian Z. I'm recovered compulsive eater in New York. And, oh, my gosh, yeah. So, you know, this reading to me reminds me of what it's like when, you know, being a compulsive eater and actively struggling, right? Like always wanting the answer to why I was doing this, thinking I really, you know, in my head just needed to figure it out. If I could just fix this one thing about whatever I was doing or whatever was going on in my life, then the rest of my life would be perfect. And so, yeah, you know, going to such extremes to try to make myself feel better and to try to, you know, not have to deal with problems or not have to face things. I thought, you know, working really hard would just make everything be better and make all the problems go away. But, you know, what really this is showing us is that, you know, when we're trying to take it all on and we're trying to be, you know, all that and be perfect, you know, we're trying to play God. And that's part of this illness, you know, that you know, I really was trying to think this thing through. But they show us here that, you know, it's a phenomena. You know, this craving is something that we just can't do anything about. It's bigger than us. And as frustrating as that is, you know, then we go through the obsession of trying to stop it or to make it stop on our own. But, you know, that's the thing is if we have these mental, you know, twists, we're just a different class. We're just a different type of person. That was the case for me, you know, and that meant I could not stop. I was the chronic type, meaning that I would start eating for comfort and keep going. Whereas other people, maybe they would be a hard eater and they'd compulsively eat once or twice and then be like, oh, that's awful, and never do it again. But for me, you know, that experience of compulsive eating, I wanted to go back to it. And yeah, you know, then it just became what my whole life was about. And I stopped being able to think about anything else, right? And all these other things in my life, I started to forget about them. I was so blinded by these things. I had, you know, sun up to sun down, just thinking about food and all the good things in my life. I couldn't even, you know, bring them to mind. I was so wrapped up in the the eating. But yeah, you know, being freed from it and not, you know, being broken out of it, not by my own power, but by a higher power, saved me, you know, saved me from those cycles. And now, yeah, all these great memories and these great experiences, you know, I can feel them again because I know life has more to it and there's so many better things. And that's just a gift of working the steps. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christian Z. Okay, we've got Dion R. up next, and you'll be followed by Dev E. Please go ahead, Dion.
Yes, hi. Good morning, Elaine. Hi, and everyone on the line. Thank you, guys, and for all the great shares. I've heard gives me a whole new different insight. And what I'm hearing when I read this paragraph today and just after the sharing is the thinking, the thoughts, you know, you talk about he doesn't think at all. I mean, the whole paragraph actually is about that knowledge, self-knowledge, and thinking. And then the part down here, only when he, even after he said, I'm not, or he or she says, I'm not going to do it. I'm no way, no way, no how. You know, the obsession of the mind, the phenomenon of craving, the obsession of the mind, the bottom, I mean, excuse me, right? The not the way it is, the bottom, but the craving and obsession, it just overtakes us, right? So we're right back to step one. It says only to have thought. That thought supplanted by, well, it's all my thinking, in other words. And this is what had to be beaten into my head over and over and over again. Dan, it's not what you eat. None of that. It's your thinking, girl. Look, you have a disease. You have a desire for living, too. And which one you want to choose? Today, I'm choosing the desire for living. I no longer feel like I'm isolated and alone because thanks to... like I said, making the lemon out of lemonade, thanks to the pandemic, I have millions of people that can relate, that I know of, can relate to my disease, my thinking, you know, and it can keep me right back on this narrow path of recovery. And then when I get there, I'm like, oh my God, so many people here think like I did, thought like I did, and they did what I did, or even worse, and they still say, hey, here's my hand. Come on, girl. You know, you could do this, too. So, guys, thank, and girls, and women, and men, and children, whoever listening, thank you for the solution. You know, I couldn't have heard it if I hadn't surrendered to the higher power of the program. Not to my food. It was a solution, but I had to let it go and surrender to my higher power. I had to let go of the food happily, guys. You guys have no idea what I'm going through, but I'm living through it. Key word. And I love you all. Thank you all for sharing. Remind me, today is also December the 24th. Have a great day. Not bad.
Thank you, Dion R. Thank you very much. Dev E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Mary G., and we'll take some more shares at that time on page 24, paragraph 3, The Alcoholic May Seem. Please go ahead, Dev.
Hi there, everyone. This is Deb E., recovered in Israel, grateful compulsive overeater. So this paragraph really made me think of the way I would restrict my food all day. And I kept a log of, I had like all these food diaries where I'd record all my calories. And then I'd get to the end of dinner and I was impressed. I was happy. It was great. It looked great. And of course, it was just too restrictive. I couldn't eat that little. And so I would start to go to the kitchen and grab a little something. And then it was always one of my binge foods. So it would start that whole cycle of wanting more. And I would go back to my food journal and I would change the total calories for the day. And then I'd go back to the kitchen, eat more, and come back and go back and come back. And it just got so crazy and out of hand. It was like, I was convinced that, like, you know, I'd repeat this pattern every day, but every day I was convinced that I would beat it and it wouldn't happen and I would be fine by the evening and I wouldn't binge again. And it always came back because I was always trying the same thing. I was always trying solutions that were in just different food solutions, just different exercise solutions, just different like people solutions. If only this would change or that would change, or people, places, and things, you know, not in a higher power. I wasn't looking for a spiritual solution, and that's why none of that stuff worked. And just that last line, what's the use anyhow, that it's just so, the demoralization that I hear in those words, of it's not just what's the use of trying to change it anymore, you know, just completely feeling completely defeated. What I hear in that for me is also, what's the use? I'm not worth it. I'm not worth the effort, the change. I'm being shown that it's, I don't get to have this. I don't get to have whatever I was looking for, right? And it just, it got me at my core. And the perhaps he doesn't think at all. I had so little awareness, you know. Actually, that's not completely true. I feel like I did. But I got into this pattern in my childhood of ignoring my intuition, of feeling that things weren't right, but then convincing myself that I must have been wrong because the people in my life were all telling me otherwise. And it's that intuition that I've connected back with through OA and having that higher power. And that intuition to me is my guidance that I received from my higher power. And I listen to it now, and it does lead me the right way. And I wasn't wrong all those years when I felt like I was, you know, I was being told I was wrong. And I think that's all I'll share for today. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dev E. Okay, Mary G., you're up next, and after you, we will take another lineup for people. We're sharing on page 24, paragraph 3, The Alcoholic May Seem. Please go ahead, Mary G.
Hi, this is Mary G., recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona, and thank you, Elaine and Team Thursday, for your service. Gosh, when I read this paragraph, I thought, he doesn't think at all. Well, you know, my thinking was the problem. I thought that when I came into OA 31 years ago and actually lost the most weight I'd ever lost in my life, I thought that I would learn through that how to be a normal person. I thought I would learn how to moderate my meals. I thought I would, you know, be cured somehow. I really did not understand the allergy of the body or the obsession of the mind. But I certainly experienced it in my eating. You know, my first abstinence was about 2.5 years. And when I broke it, I just went straight back up. And so again, I was desperate, looking for a new food plan, looking for a new sponsor. It was always something out there that was going to fix me. So my thinking was just crazy. I didn't know that I was putting my hand on a hot flame. I did not know that. Even though I was in the rooms, I knew too much. I came into these rooms very spiritually arrogant and thinking I knew what a spiritual awakening was, and I didn't, but I thought I did. And so that kept me just stuck because I was unteachable for years. And I remember at one point, I think it was right before it wasn't the last binge. It wasn't actually the last relapse, but it was one of them. And it was when that whole, thing was big is beautiful and, you know, big, beautiful woman. And, oh, I thought, well, that's great. I just don't care. I'm just going to be fat and be happy. Well, that never happened to me. I was not a happy fat person. You know, I wanted to eat the food because that's what gave me the comfort, but I was so upset that I was fat. I felt like it was a failure, a personal failure, that I could not learn how to moderate this food. And it wasn't until I actually became abstinent and put down my alcoholic foods, again, told to me by someone else. I didn't really learn this the vision way. I just happened to fall into a group that put down the same things that I'm allergic to. And, you know, I all of a sudden came out of that food fog and went, oh, my gosh, what have I been doing? You know, I had been living in my head in the crazy future world of fantasy that just doesn't exist. You know, I was never going to get thin in my head. you know, I was never going to be able to think it out. I had to be able to learn how to become someone different, someone who could cope with life in a different way. And I'm so grateful that I have learned that, that I have recovered, that I've had that
gentle
personality
reminder.
Change. Thank you so much, Elaine. And with that, I will pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Mary G. Okay. So we value your experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience as well. If you'd like, if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to share, please press star one to unmute and let us know.
Mo H.
Mo H.
N-R.
Eileen.
N-R.
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 N-R. Okay.
Anne.
Anybody else?
Jamie C.
Was that Jamie?
Yes.
Jamie C. I got room for a couple more. Anybody else want to jump on? Felicia? Okay, let's get started with this then. Mo H, Eileen D, NK, and Jamie C. All right. Please go ahead, Mo. You'll be followed by Eileen D.
All righty. Good work there. Thank you very much. Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. All right. So, God, I had a lot of thoughts with all of these last paragraphs we've been reading, but I had a memory this morning as I was listening to other people share that really brings this disease of the mind to forefront here. So I've heard this expressed, I'm not responsible for my first thought, but I am responsible for my first action. So it's really that I need to take action on that first thought by using the steps and the tools of the program. But my story is there was a time, a long time ago, and I was home alone. My husband was out of town. The kids were all out. And the cookies in the cupboard that were not mine were literally talking to me, were calling me. And I could not get them out of my mind. And I, at that time, I did not know I had a disease of the mind. But that my disease was in the mind. And so I remember making outreach calls and talking to people and them saying, you know, suggesting, you know, other things for me to do. And it was so powerful that after I made all those outreach calls and got all that wisdom, I still went and took those and ate those cookies. And that's how powerful this mental obsession is. And I really have a twofold disease. And I'm always, I was back then, I was trying to solve it with a one-fold solution, which was dieting. And it never worked. I really, really, really have to work all these steps, 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis to keep my mind from going wandering into those thoughts. And I have to say that today I am ever so grateful that that is not the first thing on my mind anymore. The first thing on my mind when I am able to be with family is to be present, to be in a relationship rather than what is the food that is going to be served. And so that's what I wanted to share. I wanted to share that story, how powerful that mental obsession can be, even when trying to work the program. So I wish you all happy holidays. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mo H. Very helpful. Eileen D., you're up next, followed by Ann R.
Hi, this is Eileen. Hello, this is Eileen D. from Maryland. You can hear me, yes?
Oh, yes, we hear you great. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. And if this program can work for me, anyone can wait for the miracle. And it will work. Just keep coming back. I was such a slow learner in program. Food was such an idol to me. The food was my friend. The food was my comfort. I often would kid people and tell people that I used to, if I got lost, I tell me the restaurant and I can get home. I that's it was a big joke to me. And so relapse occurred all the time, although I've been in program for a very long time. And when I finally was given the gift of abstinence, it was like a sweet, gentle breeze that kind of came in and surprised me and just grew one meal at a time. And that was almost 2 years ago. And I just love being abstinent. I never thought I'd be recovered compulsive overeater. I am still in awe of it, probably will be the rest of my days. But for me, I know that now that I'm at the normal weight, people will say, oh, just a little bite won't hurt you. And I literally will look at them, if they continue to press, I will look at them very honestly and say, one bite of sugar is 75 pounds to me. And they don't understand it, but they back off, you know, because I know what it does to me. So for me, the key is steps and having an awesome sponsor and being willing to do the work and listening to Vision, which is fabulous. So thank you for your service. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen D. NR, you're up next, followed by Jamie C., and then we'll take a few more shares on page 24, paragraph 3, starts with the alcoholic may seem. Please go ahead, NR.
Hi, good morning. My name is NR. I'm from California, and I wanted to claim my seat here as a compulsive overeater. I have been listening, and I haven't talked in a while. I wanted to respond to this paragraph where it says, for God's sake, how did I ever get started again? And it won't burn me this time, so here's how. I have been able to maintain my abstinence for a while, and the other day I was out with a new love, not mine, someone else's. I was out with a couple, and we were in a very special place, and out of nowhere came a relapse, and without thinking about it, it just happened. I didn't have to pound on the bar or get crazy over it. What I did do is have to have the experience of it, and I'm still, this happened a few days ago, and I'm still having the experience of it. I'll stop at the sixth drink, says to me that maybe I'll just try this or try that or try this, or my disease is telling me, since I've already relapsed, what the heck anyway, and I will just enjoy the relapse. You know, that's a sickness of my disease, the disease of compulsive eating. Let me just enjoy it anyway. In fact, abstinence, this is my disease talking, in fact, abstinence is just only part of learning how to enjoy the relapse. Whoa, what a sick partner I am with myself. I don't want to do any of this, but the obsession of the mind is very present. And I am so grateful for Visions, even though it rubs me sometimes, and I'll say to other fellows, wow, it seems really rigid on there. I'm being really honest this morning. So I don't relapse. I don't get off the phone and go to food. It's not that it's rigid. It's just that I have a hard time following instructions. I want to do it my way, which another share said, you know, I'm trying to play God. I don't want to play God. I'm done. I'm tired of being sick. That so what the use anyway? Well, let me tell you, I have been actually talking to myself about all my trigger foods and all the things that I could go choose, and I am not doing it. I am not acting on it. I am Bill in the bar making the phone call. You know, and it's not, they're not in my home, but because of that, and I'll just kind of close with this, because of that Christmas holiday today, which is normally spent with family and normally spent eating, I am not spending it with family. I am actually babysitting a dog for a neighbor friend who is one of us who helps me on a daily basis so she can go visit her son and travel. So I'm going to be at home, and I'm so grateful for Visions. Thank you so much for being on the line.
Thank you, NR. Okay, Jamie C. is up next, and we'll take a couple. It looks like we'll have time for a couple shares after Jamie C. Please go ahead. Star one to unmute, Jamie.
Hi, this is Jamie C. I'm a compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. This is my first time sharing on this meeting, so I'm a little nervous. Just wanted to say that. Thank you so much for everyone that does service on this meeting. It has really been a life changer for me, and I'm really grateful to be able to share today. What caught my attention in this paragraph was just how, in the most casual way, it won't burn me this time, because to me, like, it's just, it's so insane how casually the thought popped in my head to try a new plan or try a new diet or something completely rigid and ridiculous. But the one that I was thinking about the most when I read this was, you know, a revelation that I thought I was having, that like maybe I just didn't try not being restrictive. Like, I could be that person who could, like, there was a whole series of books about, like, yeah, just acknowledge that, like, you can eat anything, but you have to actually like be present while you're eating, you know, the chocolate or the treat or the really delicious food. And then if you just really pay attention to the food while you're eating it, then, you know, you won't want any more. And I truly, honestly believe this. So I remember this experiment where I would just, you know, I try these books and I, you know, I let myself have whatever it was I wanted, and in any way, like, as ridiculous as it was. And I tried really hard to talk myself into the fact that when I was eating it in this certain way, not distracted or, you know, not judging myself, that somehow I would just be able to stop, you know, halfway through and be like, oh yeah, like, I've had enough now. I totally understand. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, it never ends the way that my crazy mind thinks that it will, that all of a sudden I'll have this revelation that, like, I am normal. I just wasn't doing it right. And, you know, with the work that I've been doing now, it's just been, you know, that's been the revelation, the idea that I don't have to do this alone. I've always tried to do it alone, even working the steps alone. And now I'm truly leaning into what the program means. I have a sponsor and working the steps and doing the work. And this is really, you know, the most eye-opening thing that has ever happened to me. And I'm really grateful to be here and, you know, recoiling from the flame that has burned me so many times. Wishing everyone a good abstinent holiday. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Jamie C. And though we value your experience, we do ask you to limit your share to every third day so others might share their experience too. So we get time for two shares. Anybody want to?
Maggie Rose M.
Maggie Rose M.
Maureen C. from Boston.
I'm sorry, what was the name again? I think it was C.
Noreen.
Noreen C?
Yes.
Okay.
But Nabuche, I'm not sure if you have.
And Nabuche, hopefully we'll have time for all three of you, but I'm not really sure that there is. So I did get Maggie Rose first, and then Noreen C., and then Nabuche. Okay. Okay, so Maggie Rose, please go ahead.
Yeah, Maggie Rose, I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. The whole idea of, you know, this time it'll be different. And this has been a dangerous season for me around that, as it is for many. Because, you know, the other people have been there, and it's not the other people that make me eat, obviously. And as one person shared, just like, I have to be really, really firm when I say, no, I don't do that. And I found that by doing that, it made a big difference. But, you know, still the things are around, and even today, especially today and tomorrow, I'm here by myself. There's no extra food around. But that doesn't mean that if I put my mind to it, I couldn't find some. And I just need to stay in my spiritual solution every hour of the, every hour of every day. It's not anything special about these 2 days, really, when you think about it. They're just 2 days on the calendar. And all of that about blaming other people or saying if they wouldn't have said this or whatever, trying to take the blame outside of myself. I know that it belongs to me and that it's keeping my thoughts clean. And if that means being on meetings all during the whole holiday, that's what it means. But I'm feeling pretty serene this morning, but I'm taking nothing for granted because this disease is so baffling, cunning, and powerful. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Maggie Rose M. Okay, if Noreen C. will do a 2-minute share, then we should have time for Nabuche as well. So please go ahead, Noreen. Noreen C., star one to unmute, please.
Yes, grateful, a recovering overeater, and I'm just so grateful to be here and read this paragraph. This really speaks to me. It won't burn me this time. You know, over and over again, getting those binge foods, was going to happen, and then consuming a quart or a bag or a box, you know, and then saying, how did I do it again? How did I do it again? You know, and then what's the use? So that cycle of insanity, not being able to stop, and hopelessness. And that was, I've had many years in OA, but that was me until, by the grace of God, you know, higher power was saying to me, you have to work the steps. And higher power even gave me the name of the person I was to call, and this person is in vision. And so just a few weeks ago, she said, put down your binge foods. I want you on these meetings every morning. And, you know, I'm waking up, I'm coming to, and I'm seeing the insanity, the real insanity of doing that day after day and not expecting to have, you know, this cycle of the insanity, not being able to stop, and the hopelessness. So by the grace of God, I'm so grateful today. The binge foods are down, and I can focus on, you know, on God, on gratitude, and on others. And I'll have a small gathering tonight. I'm gonna cook and eat my abstinent food. This other food is not my food. It will never be my food. So I'm grateful, and I'm going to keep listening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maureen C. Okay, Nabuche, we do have time for you. So please press star one to unmute.
Hi, my name is Nabuche W., and I am a newcomer. And a few people have, I like it when I go on an OA meeting and they say that they are big book, they sponsored by the big book, and I'm always so inspired by that because I know the miracles that have occurred by and through the big book. I recently had to get some outside help because I realized that there was something not changing. And I needed more support in that area, and you know, I'm just realizing that I'm also cross addicted, like really, really cross addicted. And some of us are. So I would like a sponsor if that's possible, I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to do the work for the rest of my life, and. But I have to do it honestly, as I'm hearing others say, and my honest account of the disease has been just different from others. I'm not unique, but in this area, thank God, you know, everyone hasn't had to have these kind of things happen. I thank God. But in saying that,
you know, I've been directed, well, you might need that meeting too. So, but I'm really interested in working the steps. And this morning I was up, I reached out on a spiritual call with a spiritual teacher in another country. And I was thinking, oh, a vision for you. And then I heard him say, a vision. And I said, okay, I hear you, God. So, you know, yeah, hopefully I can meet someone and I can feel...
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And it can be a good fit, God willing. Thank you.
Nabuche, I encourage you to stay on the line and share your number as a newcomer so you can get some outreach support. And we'll also be taking names and numbers from available sponsors in just a few minutes. So please stand by for that as well. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to everybody who has shared. And we're going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Dion R. please read a vision for you? Star 1 to unmute, please. Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm so sorry. Thank you, guys. Wait a second. I mean, I forgot I was in. Anyway, Deanna R. is a recovered compulsive overeater. Okay, time to page 164. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you. And keep you until then.
Thank you very much, Dion R.